Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Beautiful passage here from the very words of Christ himself, beginning in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is a gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. You ever felt pruned before? So that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, speak in power and authority, and transform us, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Where's Lisa? Lisa, thank you for that word. That touched my heart. I know it touched everyone's heart. We continue the sermon series today, Truth Matters, where we answer the questions that that you guys have submitted, and appreciate Billy keeping the show running last week while we were out of town. I understand that you did a really good job, Billy, and we're going to talk about that, because if you do too good of a job, they don't want me back. You may not want me back anyway, but I'm not much, but I'm all you've got. This week, why choose Jesus now? Why choose Jesus now? This comes from, this is not an exact quote, the question, but it is the gist of the question. This actually came out, I believe, one of our small groups this past spring on Wednesday night. They were talking about this, and this was not so much, I don't believe, their question as it was questions that had been asked of them as Christians. And here's the gist of the question. Why not just enjoy life and wait until we come to the end to ask God for forgiveness and for everything that we've done wrong and receive his grace and eternal life then? And I tell you, after group, y'all remember that? Some of you guys that were in that class, y'all remember talking about that? And I remember they said something to me about that question Wednesday night after classes were wrapping up, and it took every ounce of energy in me right then to just not just launch into to my sermon right then, because I was excited about sinking my teeth into this one. We have, want to use a kind of, this illustration just kind of came to me this week. We have some crepe myrtles. The crepe myrtles are starting to come out around town. Have you started seeing the crepe myrtles come out? I love crepe myrtles. They're so beautiful when they're blooming. This is in our front yard. Now we have, it's been about, I don't know, a few years ago, probably 4 or 5 years ago, maybe 6 or 7 years. No, how long? No, hadn't been that long. 4 years, Cheryl? 3 or 4 years when we've got these crepe myrtles? And We have this raised flower bed in front of our house that we had to bring in our own dirt and for this raised flower bed. And we brought in really good, rich soil. And Cheryl, I've said this word before from the pulpit, so I'm not going to say it. She got some like goat poop and stuff, you know. Really good. It's good stuff, Jody. We'll give you some if you want some. We got a connection, man. And we fertilize this, and it's this raised bed, and it's really rich soil that's all kinds of nutrients and all. And then we've got our yard, and it's this old kind of clay, nasty junk. And if I planted some oak trees last year, and I am telling you, I thought I was going to die digging 4 or 5 holes for oak trees out there. But it's just this dense clay, and it's just not very good. Not very good soil. Well, show that one you just showed again, Lee. No, back up. Okay. This one is in our yard. And as you can see, I took these this weekend. Same bushes, same crepe myrtles. Bought at the same time, planted at the same time. This one is in our yard. And you can, it's really hard to see. That one is up in our raised bed. Now here's what's in. Now, so you can see that the one in our raised bed with the rich and fertile soil, how it's thriving and how it's putting off its blooms, and you can't really appreciate it in that picture, but it's just started blooming. There's all these little blooms that are unopened, the little bulbs that are ready to explode. And in another week, that tree is going to be massive with blooms. And look at this one. There's really not even any blooms getting ready. It's struggling. And now the leaves look nice and green. It looks healthy, but there's no fruit. Now, what's interesting about this is last year, about a year ago, the one that's go back to the show the one that's in the bed again with the blooms, Lee. Lee, how much do we pay you? We pay you way too much anyway, buddy. All right. Now, that tree, it's hard to see it, but it's right in front of our kitchen window when we look out the kitchen window to the street. Now, about a year and a half ago, that one was flourishing, and it got a lot bigger than we really wanted it to right there. And the one out in the yard was struggling, and I'm thinking, you know what? I think I'm going to put that smaller one out in the yard. I'm going to transplant these. So I dug up these two crepe myrtles and I swapped them. And guess what? The little scrawny one is now the one flourishing and bursting forth in blooms. And the one that was bursting forth and that was covering up our view of our neighborhood is now this little scrawny one with no blooms. It is amazing what abiding in the rich soil in the vine can do. Now, it really struck me as I'm thinking about these two crepe myrtle trees, I'm thinking about the people that don't have Jesus that are like, they're planted in this soil, this dense clay-like soil, and they may have pretty leaves, and they may act like they're just, you know, getting through with life just fine, but there's no fruit. But also what I found really interesting was take the one that's in the rich soil that's producing all the fruit and take it out of its rich soil and put it into the clay or the world, if you will, the fruit disappears. So you see, it works both directions. Christ is telling us, he's teaching us this lesson. He's saying, you want a full and abundant life filled with joy? Abide in me, because I'm the rich soil. I am the vine. And there's nourishment in me. There's fruitfulness in me. This question that was asked, and again, this was not asked by the class about themselves struggling with this as much as it was, how do we answer that question when people come to us with that question, with that point? And here's, I want us to look at that for just a little bit. First of all, I want us to realize that this question itself is risky, Because tomorrow is not guaranteed. You see, people who are playing that sort of a game with Christ, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not guaranteed today. Did you know that? There's not one of us guaranteed that we will make it to midnight today. We may all have an opportunity this day to face our Maker before the day is up. Did you know that? And we think, oh, we're going to live to be, 100. Lou back there, your mom was how old, Lou? 101? Lou, how old was your mother when she passed? 101 years old, sweeping her front porch off, and she died. We think that's how it's going to happen for all of us, don't we? We're not guaranteed that. This question is risky because tomorrow is not guaranteed. I'm reminded of the, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I encourage you to. Matthew 25, Jesus tells a parable of the 10 virgins and how five of the virgins had lamp for their oils. They had their lamps and they had oil for that. And the other five had the lamps, but they had no oil. And they all just were waiting for the bridegroom to come. And half were prepared for when he came and half weren't. And it says the bridegroom was delayed. And so they all fell asleep. And then they woke at midnight with the sounding of the bell that the bridegroom was here and that they all needed to come out and trim their lamps and to be prepared to receive the bridegroom. The five with oil came out and trimmed up their lamps and with celebration, and they received the bridegroom and he received them. And the five with no oil asked for the ones who had oil. They said, "It's too late. You should have already had your oil. Go and try to acquire your oil." And so while they were away trying to acquire their oil, the bridegroom, they went into the banquet, the door was shut, and those five were not in. So the people that are asking this question are playing with their eternity. That's a scary proposition. Second thing I want us to look at. This question is asked, I believe this with all my heart, because too few Christians demonstrate a joy-filled life. You know, somehow those outside of Christ, those outside of the church, have gotten this impression that to be a Christian is the pits. That's a very theological word. You're probably all familiar with that. It's the pits. It's you don't want any of that until you have to. You know, it's kind of like when growing up, I always ate my peas last. I mean, I ate them first to get them over with. You know, you don't want to deal with it until you have to, right? That's what this idea of Christianity or being a Christian or being in the church, to those outside, they look at that and they see nothing that they want. Now, this is not universal for all Christians, but I believe that it is far too frequent that Christians demonstrate a lack of joy in their life. Because I believe if we were leading the life that Christ has called us to lead, if we were truly abiding in Him and we were fruit, which one of those two crepe myrtles do you think people would be drawn to and buy at Lowe's if they were sitting there in a bucket? The one with no bulbs at all, no fruit, or the one who's bursting forth and has all those others ready to burst forth. You're drawn to that. You're drawn to the one that's fruitful. People should be drawn to us as the church. Listen, as Christ is going through, in John 15, what he's telling us, abide in me and I will abide in you. And then he goes on to say, I have told you this, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Do you think Jesus is trying to teach us something here? Abide in me. I'm the vine. I'm the rich soil. Abide in me and you will be joyful. And not just joyful when your circumstances are joyful. And I've had I look across our sanctuary and I see people who have gone through extremely difficult and trying circumstances, and I have seen their faith in Christ and their joy underneath the surface of that of those circumstances remain steadfast. Many of you, I see that our joy exceeds our circumstances. It transcends our circumstances. David in Psalm 51 that tells us King David, God's man, man after God's own heart. That guy, he commits adultery. He gets the lady pregnant. He has her husband killed. He has all this. He lies about it. He has all this sin in his life, and he's confronted with this sin in his life. And what did he say? First of all, he repented before a holy God. And then he said, very interesting, in verse 12 there, he says, "Restore to me the joy of thy salvation." When we're walking with Christ, we have joy. When we're in that rich, abundant soil, we have joy. When we are separated from Him with sin in our life and not walking step by step with Him, our joy is gone. There is no fruit. Just like the crepe myrtles, the one that was flourishing and fruitful is now struggling just to put on pretty leaves with no fruit. Which one are we, by the way? Uh-oh. Don't you hate it when I get in your business? Which crepe myrtle are you? Not only does Christ want us to abide in Him so that we would have great joy and that our joy might be complete, but He goes on to say that our fruit bearing brings glory to God. And then people are now, through our joy-filled life, through abiding in Him, they're attracted to the church. They look at it and they go, "Wait a minute, that's not something to be to dread. I want what that guy has. I want what that girl has. Has all these horrible circumstances going on in their life, and they still have peace. I want that." Do we show that to the world, church? It's a challenge before us today. And finally, the question itself assumes, and y'all are going to love this, I learned this at Duke, Jesus is the great party pooper. How many of you have ever had a point that the pastor's had you fill in that was party pooper? Raise your hand. So you can, today you know you've experienced something first time. The question assumes that Jesus is the great party pooper. And that's what, don't you love that song? Everybody has a pooper. We invited you for party pooper. That's you. You know, does anybody know that song? Watch Father of the Bride. Song Father of the Bride. You'll love it. Well, I have a news flash. Jesus is not a party pooper. He's not. He came to give us complete joy. He came to give us abundant life. He came to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. Does that sound like someone we want to avoid until we have to? Jesus says, "Remain in me and I will remain in you. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and so that your joy may be complete." And He doesn't say it, but I'm going to add tag on there so that others will also be attracted to me. Through you, they'll see the joy of Christ in you and they'll be drawn to me. He instructs us to remain in Him because He knows that is the source of our joy and our peace and our hope. Today, not someday, not eternal life is not out there somewhere. Eternal life starts right now, today, at this moment. And Jesus wants us to have abundant life by abiding in Him right now. I want to, and, and I, I know if you're part of our church and you've been here for a long time, you've heard it before and you may get tired of hearing it, but I'll tell you that the God's Word is our guide, but my own experience confirms God's Word. I remember my life without Christ. And what's really, when I say that, I want you to understand that I was raised in the church. It wasn't my life outside of Christianity. It wasn't my life outside of the church. It was my life outside of walking hand in hand with my Savior and letting myself surrender it all to Him. So my life without Christ at the center, I was an unfulfilled person. I was seeking to fill this hole in me with personal pleasure. And not all of it was bad stuff. Some of it was okay, but I mean, I was really consumed with sports at the point of neglecting my wife. I mean, I was eat up with it, folks. All I was thinking about as soon as I'd get home is recovering so that I could think of something else fun to do next. And it usually didn't involve my wife. I had an unhappy marriage, and this was 20 years ago. I had an unhappy marriage on the path to divorce. We were headed there. It was just a matter of time. My children, at that point, they were 2 and 4. My children were headed for a split home. They had no authentic moral leadership from their father. I spoke it, but I didn't live it. With Christ at the center, I'm a happy and whole person. I'm forgiven, and I'm a transformed father. I'm a transformed husband. I have a resurrected and committed marriage, full of love and joy. Now, my children did not get a perfect dad, but they got a dad that loves God and loves their mom and loves them. Why would we want to wait for that, church? Why would anyone want to wait for that? You see, to ask that question, why don't I just live my life the way I want to live it, and then at the end ask for Jesus to come into my heart and have eternal life with Him? The reason is because we're missing out on the joy of living with Christ. I remember many of you have heard that my life changed forever in October of 1991 when I went on a walk to Emmaus. And I remember, again, my daughters were 4 and 2, and I know they don't remember this, but I remember it like it was yesterday. And I came home from that weekend, and His love had just exploded inside of me. I can't explain. Suddenly, church and religion and all that, I have a Savior that loves me. Lisa, I saw that He saw me as a beautiful person, as His precious child. And it transformed everything about me. And it still has 20 years later. And I remember coming home from that weekend, and Cheryl was kind of freaking out, I think. Because, I mean, I walked in and I was obviously something was different about this husband that she sent off 3 days earlier. And I came in and I'm just hugging and I'm just so excited. And I remember sitting down on the couch and I remember gathering Cheryl and the girls and I just gave them a big hug. And I was just hugging them and I was weeping. And Kirby was 4, and she looked up at me, and she saw big tears streaming down my cheeks, and she said, "Daddy, what's wrong? What's wrong?" And I said, "Daddy's just happy. Daddy's just happy." Why would we want to wait on that, church? If you haven't experienced that, I invite you to press in, because God wants that for you. He wants that for each one of us. He wants you to see yourself through His eyes. He wants you to have joy that's complete and be contagious to a world that's lost with no hope and no joy. Bow your heads with me if you would. If you don't know what I'm talking about, but you want it, you want that. You want to abide in Him. You want to be planted in His rich soil. If you want His joy to be in you, if that's you, I want you to just say this prayer with me. You can say it under your breath, or you can say it in your heart. I just want you to say this prayer. Jesus, I love you. I confess to you that I need you. I confess to you that I've made a mess of things in my life. I confess to you that my heart is in disarray. My life is in disarray. And I need you. Come into my heart, Jesus, and make me whole. And plant my heart in the richness of your soil. And may I abide in you, Jesus, and you as the vine, me as the branches. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I want you to take over my life. With ever eyes still closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time this morning, just raise your hand. Okay. Thank you. Lord, we love you. And we need you. And we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come this morning, consummation of this love that Christ has for us. He demonstrated with this meal that we will partake of this morning. It was because of His broken body that we can be made whole. And it was because of His shed blood that we have eternal life and that we have joy-filled living. I ask you to bow your heads and pray your own personal prayer of confession before Almighty God. Father, we pray blessings on this bread and on this cup. We pray that you would make them be for us the body and blood of Christ. In the name of Jesus, church, you are forgiven. This meal, the invitation, is an open invitation with a couple of parameters. It's an open invitation, meaning you do not have to be a member of this church, this denomination, or any church. The invitation is that if you would come and you have confessed Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and you repent of your sins, you are welcome at this table. So everyone here this morning that meets that criteria is welcome. It's not a place. It's not a place for perfect people. It's a place for people who have been made whole and holy through the blood of Jesus. If those who are serving in the praise team and the sound team would come forward. Christ, our Lord, has prepared the table. The invitation has been given. We will have four serving stations that you'll be given a piece of bread and you can dip it into the juice and partake in that manner. The center section has the individual cups and the bread. If you'd like to be served in that manner, come to the center. The altar rail is open. Come.
Be
Jesus said to remain in him, and he would remain in you. He's told us that so that his joy may be in us and that our joy may be complete. Now go and tell someone. In Jesus' name, amen.
Shine your light and let the whole earth see. Singing for the glory of the risen King. Shine your light in.